Here's another message from Life Christian Church.
Well, I was in Japan a few weeks ago, and I'd gone back to my hotel room one night. I was pretty tired, but I was just flicking through the TV to kind of just, I thought I'll just watch something for 20 minutes to kind of wind down a little bit after a big day. Watch CNN for a few minutes because there wasn't a lot of English channels where I was. And then I'm just flicking through and there's a sports channel and there's some boxing on the channel. I'm sorry for some of you that may shock you that I would watch boxing. I think actually it's probably the opportunity for me after many years of ministry probably to kind of live out vicariously some things I would have liked to have done. Only joking, but it's against the code of conduct for a pastor. So I thought I'll just watch this for a minute. There was a Japanese fighter fighting a Thai boxer. And it was pretty clear in the first round, within a matter of a minute, it was pretty clear that the Japanese guy was going to be, he was by far a better boxer. He was actually a very good fighter. Just technique, speed, everything. But this Thai guy was amazing. In fact, I thought after round one, I think I'll turn it off because this is going to be over pretty soon. And I thought, I'll just see how long he lasts into the second round. Well, the amazing thing was he kept taking this incredible punishment. And I couldn't believe it. He just kept going. He wouldn't give up. He got knocked down numbers of times. He was taking unbelievable beating. And it got me so intrigued. Like, I want to see, I don't gamble, but if I did, I'd have been really keen to put a bet on somewhere because I thought he wouldn't last. It was a 12-round fight. And so about three quarters of an hour later, I'm still watching. It's now the 12th round. And this guy is still here and he goes all the way. And he even had the audacity to think he might have won at the end of the fight. And of course, he didn't win. Comes out to the center, and of course, the Japanese boxer is declared the winner. But what this guy did, he won the crowd over by his sheer doggedness and determination to never get up and never give up. And every time he got knocked down, he got up again. It was just unbelievable, and it got me thinking. And so this morning, that's the title of my message. I get knocked down, but I get up again. How many of you have ever heard a song that kind of, give me a wave if you've ever, where would you have ever heard a song like that? That's kind of a pub song. It was by a band, Chumbawamba. It was the name of the band. And what may even shock some of you more, we're actually going to sing, not the whole song. We're actually going to, because I don't agree with some of the lyrics of the song. But there's something about it that gets in your mind, and that's what I want to do. I want you to get this message in your head, and I want you to go away this week going, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down. So some of you are already starting to move. I am so surprised. Just hold on, we'll get there. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to listen to what Paul says. Verse 3, he says, we're troubled, hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken or abandoned. Cast down or struck down, but not destroyed. Paul kind of sounds like a real person, hey? Real things. The people in the Bible that we read about and the stuff they went through, they were real people just like you and me. And sometimes we have a tendency to think maybe their feet only touch the ground every fifth or sixth step. But the truth is that they walked on the ground just like you and me. And sometimes they did stupid things. They said stupid things just like you do, people you know do. just like I do. They experienced troubles and difficulties, just like we do. But God always helped them. And I want to tell you this morning, God will help you. God will help us. He says in verse 8, troubled or persecuted, troubled or hard-pressed on every side. Ever had any kind of trouble? Even down here in beautiful Tassie. Amazing, eh? There's an endemic of trouble in the world. You're going to have, if you've never had any, please come and take over because I want to know your secret. No, if you've never had any trouble, well, God bless you. It's delusions working for you. But the truth is, trouble is a part of being human. And sometimes you face one problem. I don't know about you, but this is my experience. Sometimes you face one problem and suddenly there's three more coming at you from different directions. Like, I can usually cope with one day at a time, but there are times when several attack me at once. And it's that kind of feeling when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it turns out to be a train. It's like Jonah in the belly of the whale. Everywhere he looked, there was whale. You look up, you look down, you look behind, you look in front. He was surrounded by trouble in the form of a whale. And sometimes the truth is, it may seem like trouble is coming from every direction, but as Paul says, I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not crushed. One translation says, never without a way out. There may be trouble on every side, but friends, you're not boxed in. There is a way out. God always makes a way of escape. God always gives us some pathway. It doesn't mean the trouble's always removed. You might say, though, well, that's great, but I don't see it. Neither did Paul. Listen to this. He says, we are perplexed. It means we don't know what to do. One translation puts it, we see no answer to our problems, but he goes on, but we never despair, we never give up. You may not at the moment see the answer. You feel, or you may feel like giving up. Have you ever had days where you feel like giving up? I had one of those one day. I've had many of those. You feel like giving up, but Paul says, don't despair. God will make a way. God is going to help you. Another version says, I like this, we are bewildered, not knowing which way to turn, but not utterly destitute of possible measures and resources. I like that. You may be a little bewildered today, not knowing which way to turn, not knowing where to go, but you are not destitute of possible measures and resources while God is alive. There is a way. He makes a way where there is no way. He goes on, he says in verse 9, he says we're persecuted but not forsaken, not abandoned. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. And you may be here today and you ever had those times when you feel like God's moved and he didn't leave you his forwarding address? But he said, I will never... I think of it like this sometimes when you feel like that. I think sometimes, how many of you, if you've got kids or you had kids when they were younger and you're teaching them to swim, and I realize down here in Tassie it's not a kind of, you know, preferable sport, particularly this time of year. But you want to teach your kids to swim, and so you put them in the pool and you say, come on, swim to me. And as they're trying their little hearts out, they're trying their hearts out, and you step away from them. You walk back. Have any of you ever done that, where you actually walk backwards away from them? Why would you do that? Because you want them to grow. You want them to do better. You want them to stretch more. It enlarges their capacity. And there are times when it feels like God, you're reaching for God, and I thought he was there, but he's not. Come on, he says, you can do it. Come on, another one, another stroke, come on, another stroke. And it's not that he's going to abandon you. Listen, as a father, you know, if one of my kids, and I was doing that, and I've heard stories about parents doing that sort of thing, not that I ever would have, but I'm not going to let my kid drown. I'm not going to abandon them. I may get them to stretch harder, but I'm not going to abandon them. Cast down, but not destroyed. Struck down, not destroyed. Phillips' translation says, we may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. The Living Bible says we get knocked down. I think maybe Kenneth Taylor read the lyrics to Chumbawamba. We get knocked down, but we get up. Again, we keep going. We keep going. You may have experienced, as we all do, some difficulties. You may even get knocked down sometimes. But the fight is not over if you get up and keep fighting. That's the only way that you can win. In fact, if you give up, you can't win. And I want to say to you this morning, don't give up. Whatever you're going through, don't give up. Listen, the devil or the circumstances of life, not everything is the devil, sometimes it's just circumstances of life. Whatever it is, it may have knocked you down physically. Maybe you've been knocked down emotionally or spiritually, or maybe you're on the mat and you feel like you're down for the count. Maybe it has to do with your kids or your marriage or a financial situation, or maybe it's a physical issue and it seems like there's no hope. Well, Paul says, you get knocked down, and he was troubled on every side, but he was never destroyed. Listen, the last chapter in your story has not been written yet. Come on. The fact that you are here in church this morning shows that there is hope for you. Listen, how many of you know the devil didn't want you to come today? I don't know about you, but I didn't feel like it. No, I did want to come today because I heard there was a really good preacher happening. And but I've got to tell you, there have been times when I was pastoring my church years ago when I'd wake up on Sunday and didn't feel like going to church. But I've got to tell you, Pastor Phil, you would have never experienced that in your journey of life. Yes. Listen, if the devil could have destroyed you, he would have already done it, but he hasn't been able to. The very fact you're here this morning shows that. There is hope for you if you'll just get back up. The Spirit of God wants to put new strength into you, a new resolve into you, a new courage into you. As I was reflecting on, excuse me, the journey of my own life, there have been times, in fact, I was really tempted to hand out packets of tissues before I tell you the story. I could tell you many stories. We've all got our stories. But I see your story and raise your one. No. No, we've all got our stories. I remember one, it was 30 years ago. And we'd gone away for 2 weeks holiday down to northern New South Wales from where we were in pastoring in Brisbane at that time, to Yamba on the northern New South Wales coast. And we'd gone down there for 2 weeks. Had to come back to Brisbane in the middle Saturday to attend a wedding. I didn't have to do it, just to attend a wedding. So we come back up on the early Saturday morning, and the wedding is like afternoon. And I think the wedding was about midday, there's a knock on the door, and it's two of my board members who felt it was an opportune time, knowing that I was coming back for a few hours to attend a wedding, felt it was an opportune time to have a talk with me and suggest that perhaps, because of a number of issues, maybe it'd be good if I resigned. That was nice. We had a little cup of tea. No, I don't know about you, but when you face things like that, it's like a kick in the guts. Went to the wedding, By the way, if ever you've got to confront people over something, which is fine, please choose a good time. Anyway, that's another message about timing. So you can imagine, go to the wedding, come home, didn't sleep a wink that night. It's like just churning, wrestling, just the flip. Oh, what is, like just feeling not good. Wake up the next morning, we head back off in the car down to head back to Yamba. We're down the Gold Coast, just going around, if you know the Gold Coast, the Kura, just north of Coolangatta, the Kura headland. And so this is 30 years ago, 31 years ago, 1985. And it's pouring rain, bucketing down rain. And just pull up in the traffic, just going around there. And suddenly my car stops. And you've got to realise that, you don't think about this, hey, now, but this was before the days of mobile phones. You can't text or call the RACQ from the comfort of your car. So my wife and I are in the car. It's just the two of us have gone away. We've farmed the kids out. And what do you do? I said, honey, please try not to get too wet. It's really pouring. I was just so good like that. My care and concern. I got out of the car. You got to go and find a phone box somewhere. Then, of course, if you remember, you got to have change, which I didn't. Had to go and find a shop, find a phone box. I'm absolutely soaking wet. You got to realise this is on top of a night of no sleep, of having guys come to you and say, I think you should resign. Another car breaks down. And I'm wet and bedraggled and finally get onto the RACQ. I get back to the car. And, of course, you're really popular with, you know, it's a Sunday. It's about this time of day, the Gold Coast. Even though it's raining, there's traffic everywhere. And you're holding up the traffic. So you can just tell as people are kind of getting their way around you, you know. Yeah, you've just gone to their best friends list. And so then the RACQ guy comes and has a look and he says, listen, he said, there's an electrical issue here. It's not, check the normal things, you know. And called the tow truck. Tow truck comes, has another look in the workshop. Can't do anything till tomorrow. So here we are. We are wet and bedraggled. And we have no luggage with us because we've just gone back up home for the night and we're coming back. So we've got nothing with us. And bear in mind, maybe we had bank card. It wasn't the easy credit card day back then. If I even had a bank card, maybe did, I can't remember. And it was the mark of the beast, of course, I was carrying in my pocket. And here we are, like we've got X amount of dollars, wet, bedraggled, no baggage, and you've got to go. We've got to find somewhere to stay. And it was like eventually we walked blocks and found a motel that was cheap enough, but looked like at least, you know, if you had a dog, you'd put them there. You know, it wasn't too bad. And then a little bit later that afternoon, we'd think, okay, we need to go and get some dinner. Didn't want to pay the money to eat in the motel restaurant. Even if we had the money, we weren't sure whether we wanted to eat in the motel restaurant. So we walk up the road and there's a pub with a bistro that's like onto the front footpath. And you got to realise that back in those days, as a pastor, it just wasn't the thing to be seen in a pub. And I'm sitting there really worried. By now we've dried our clothes out. And really worried that, you know, I thought, you know what, next it'll be, you ever get that way, the point where, yep, you know what, next will happen, it'll be, and you're already, yeah, you're just thinking the best. And I'm thinking, you know what, next thing, David Cartledge, who's our state superintendent for the Assemblies of God, he'll walk along past here and see me and that'll be the end of it. He didn't. At least we had one lucky break on the day. It was just like trouble compounded on trouble compounded. It wasn't a good feeling. It wasn't a good feeling. I have 27 other stories from my journey, which I want to share with you this morning. No, I haven't. The truth is, here I am 30 years later. Because when you get knocked down, you've got to what? Get up again. The old saying is true, you know, winners never quit and quitters never win. This pastor, I read this story years and years ago. Some of you will remember the name Catherine Kuhlman. And one day this pastor wrote to Catherine Kuhlman, he knew her, and he wanted to quit. And she just sent a card back to him. It was before the days of email, before, in fact, the days of faxes probably. She wrote an email, she sent a card back to him. And inside the card it just had one verse, John 17:4. Said, "Father, I finished the work you gave me to do." Nothing else. Very sympathetic. Not. Some of you have heard me say, on the journey, there are times when I have found God jolly unsympathetic. Not lacking in care and concern. But how do you know sympathy in itself is actually powerless? The Apostle Paul wrote, and I love this, the end of his life, he said, "I've finished the course." And he went through some stuff. In fact, we've got time, I'll just allude to that a little bit later. He went through some serious stuff. And as long as you are breathing, God is not finished with you yet. Just check your neighbor. Yeah. You're not through yet. You can't give up. Paul also said, and I want you to note, Paul also said, "I've fought a good what?" Oh, fight? Oh, that's not very Christian. No, there are times when you've got to get a bit of get up in you and you've got to be prepared to fight. And not just be a doormat for life circumstances. You've got to be prepared to get a bit of on the inside. That's what inspired me about this Thai boxer the other week. It's like, seriously, he just kept going. He just wouldn't give up. It was so inspiring. Paul fought a good fight. That was why he was able to finish his course. Everyone gets knocked down. But if you get back up and you keep fighting, you can win. Trouble is, some people do quit. They quit at the marriage, maybe far too early, instead of working on it. They're facing issues in life, they just quit. Some people quit going to church, experience difficulty, somebody stands on their big toe or disagrees with them. God forbid that anybody would ever disagree with you. And then you look and there's an empty seat. They just gave up. Some people even quit believing God. But if you quit, God can't do anything for you. The Spirit that came into you when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, the same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead. How many know there's a bit of power in that? The same Spirit came into you when you became a disciple and a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ. And it is not the spirit of a quitter. Proverbs 24 is an interesting verse. Verse 16 says, "For though a righteous man falls seven times," let me just read. It says, "For though a righteous man falls seven times," he just lays there and says, "That's it, I've had enough, I quit. Seven times is too much." No, that's not what it says. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again." I didn't think righteous people fell down. Yep. Though the righteous falls. It's nothing to do sometimes. The stuff that knocks you down is nothing to do with... It can be, but sometimes it's nothing to do with whether you're righteous or not. It's just the journey of life. But the key is what? Though he got knocked down seven times, that's too many. That's not fair. Have you ever had those conversations with God? I have. told you the story in the past, you know, of having, you know, 10 years or so ago, telling God very clearly what I thought and telling him that what I was going through at that point was not fair because I have served you. But though he gets knocked down 7 times, he rises again. He gets up. All of the great men and women of the Bible faced challenges and obstacles and got knocked down on occasions. But they got their names in the Bible mostly because they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They got up again. Listen, there are many things that make people quit. Let me just give you 2 for the sake of time this morning. 2 things that I think make people quit. One is failure or a sense of failure. Whether through stupid decisions or wrong decisions or whether it's just failed circumstances, some people just quit. They feel so condemned, such a sense of failure. They, even if they've done wrong, they won't receive God's forgiveness and they just give up living for God altogether. What's the use? Oh, and that's when the devil comes and, you ever had the experience of like the enemy, he's real, comes and sits on your shoulder and that little voice, yeah, you're hopeless, eh? Yeah, you might as well give up. Forget, you're a hypocrite. Often sounds like your own voice. God can't possibly use you or accept you after, you know. And you're not like all the other people in church. They've got it all together. How many of you know the enemy always likes you to make you think that you're the only one that hasn't got it together? You're the only one that's going through. Yeah. This will probably come as a rude shock for some of you, but none of you have it all together yet. I can see absolute. What? I haven't? Just turn to somebody near you and just say, you haven't got it all together yet. Some of you said that with real passion. Yeah. I noticed amongst husbands and wives particularly, there was quite a. Listen, the truth is, we can all put up a hand and say, I haven't got it all together yet. But you can't quit. The only perfect person in the church is Jesus. Let me just tell you 2 stories. So this one thing that makes people quit is failure or a sense of failure. Let me just tell you 2 quick stories from the Bible. So one refers to Peter, Matthew 26:69. That's a long chapter. This is verse 69. Maybe we should read from the beginning of that chapter. And this is the time of Jesus just prior to his crucifixion. And Peter sat outside in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him saying, you were also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all saying, I don't know what you're saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath. Ooh. I do not know the man. A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I don't know the man. Oh, my goodness. I can tell you right now, if he was an ACC pastor, he wouldn't get his credential back. That's pretty serious stuff. Begins to curse and swear. And of course, the rooster crowed. Peter immediately remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. How was Peter feeling? Incredible sense of failure. There's another story too. Matthew 27, the next chapter. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, led him away, and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, who the night before had betrayed him, seeing that he had been condemned, that Jesus had been condemned, was remorseful. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I've sinned." He recognized he had done the wrong thing. "I've sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it. None of our concern." He threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and he went and hanged himself. Tragic. Peter, who denies Jesus, Judas, who betrays him, both catastrophic failure. But Peter has his life changed. Judas, well, let me just finish. Peter, who allows his life to be changed by Jesus, and I mean, this is Peter, by the way, who, hard to believe he could have failed so catastrophically. I mean, this was Peter who was on the Mount of Transfiguration. This was Peter who's journeyed with Jesus, who's in the inner three. My goodness. This is Peter who's walked on the water and then been picked out of the water by Jesus. His life had been so changed, and then a few hours before this event, he declares that, well, actually just before this event, he declares that he'd give his life for Jesus, then he just fails miserably. But then it's only weeks later we find Peter on the day of Pentecost, standing before a crowd of thousands as a fiery preacher, and thousands of people commit their lives to Christ. We could go on and talk about, I mean, who then do we find as the emerging leader in the new church? It's Peter. Peter had so totally received, and you know the story, many of you, I'm sure, he'd so totally received Jesus' forgiveness, God's forgiveness, and he got back up again, even when he had been knocked down so badly. Judas, on the other hand, experiences the same feelings of remorse and regret and repentance. And I believe there was forgiveness available for Judas. But instead of going to God to get that forgiveness, he goes back to the priest to somehow give back the 30 pieces of silver. It's almost like, I want to undo it. I'll try and buy it back. And listen, you don't get forgiveness through works. Like many Christians, you know, when we've stuffed up, when we've failed, whatever, feel so bad that, you know, God, I'll read my Bible an extra hour a day, I'll pray more, I'll fast between dinner and lunch, I'll breakfast and lunch, I'll whatever. And that might be good, but listen, you can't get forgiveness that way. It's not through penance. It's not through works. It comes by grace through faith. Judas went out, threw the money, he quit, hanged himself. Here's the point. Both knocked down by failure. Peter denies Jesus, Judas betrays him. Peter got up, Judas didn't. And some people live under the burden of guilt and condemnation that stops them from getting up again, and they give up. Listen, just here's just a thought, and so many people, and if you've messed up, if you've stuffed up in some way in your life and it's made you feel like giving up, the truth is that if you come to God with a humble, repentant heart, he has promised to forgive you. So who are you to think you shouldn't forgive yourself? You making yourself greater than God? If he's forgiven you. Second thing that makes people quit is tragedy or difficulty. Many, all of us on the journey of life experience tragedy or loss. Some people quit. Some people blame God. They quit serving God. They stop living. I love this story in the Old Testament, in the book of Ruth. Naomi has two boys, and they meet two girls named Orpha and Ruth. They get married. Naomi's husband dies, then Orpha's husband, Naomi's son dies, then Ruth's husband, Naomi's son, other son dies. That's tragic. Orpha goes back to her people. She goes back. Naomi says to Ruth, you might as well go too. She says, no way. And she loses her father-in-law, she loses her brother-in-law, she loses her husband. She doesn't blame God and she doesn't give up. And as you read through the story, she gets married again, marries Boaz, and becomes the great-grandmother of David and in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Whew. Amazing, amazing. We're all challenged to give up because of difficult circumstances. I mean, Paul, I alluded to before, you want to read 2 Chronicles 11, verse 23? I mean, this is a good ad for those who want to get into the ministry. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure. I was joking before about, I see your difficulty and raise your one. Paul kind of, man, he raises it. In prisons more frequently, in deaths more often. He goes on to say, five times I got 39 stripes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, nothing to do with drugs. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in paths of robbers, in peril of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I wouldn't hang around him. He's bad luck. My goodness, that's a great ad for the ministry. But it's Paul that's able to say, don't quit, don't give up. In fact, Paul says, rejoice. Above all else, I say rejoice. In everything, rejoice. Wow. I mean, when was the last time you had to get some friends to let you down in a basket over a wall to get away from people trying to kill you? He had some difficulties. He was knocked down, but he got up again and again. And again and again. There's so many stories. The story of Joseph. I love the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Knocked down, and just when he thought there was light at the end of the tunnel, the light went out. Knocked down again and again. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. He never quit. And then in one sovereign act, God just turns everything around. And that list goes on and on. David did some incredibly stupid and bad things, but never gave up. I mean, at one point, as you know, he's earlier on in his life, he's been anointed to be king. And for the next 10, 12 years, he's chased by a demonized King Saul who's trying to kill him. That's not fair. Hey, remember, success does not always come in a moment. But God wants to finish what he has begun in you. I wonder if the team come back. I want to read your story. And some of you will have heard this story, read this. When he was 7 years old, the family was forced out of their home on a legal technicality. His mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't good enough. And at 23, he went into debt to become a business partner in a small store. At 26, his business partner died, leaving him with a huge debt that took years to repay. At 28, after courting a girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him. She said no. At 37, on his third attempt, or his third, where am I? At 37, his third try, he was elected to Congress, but 2 years later, he failed to be re-elected. At 41, his four-year-old son died. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 47, he failed as the vice presidential candidate. At 49, he ran for the Senate again and lost. At 51, He was elected President of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. He went on to become one of the greatest presidents the United States has ever had. Simply because he got knocked down, but he got up again. That's the spirit of Christ. That's the key. That regardless of what we are going through and regardless of what you may be going through right now, you've got to get up again. Listen, it didn't look good when Jesus was on the cross. But on the third day, something happened. The devil on Friday thought it was over, but it wasn't. Sunday was coming. Sunday was coming. For you, I want to tell you, Sunday's coming. Whatever that is for you. Don't give up. Get up. Get up. You may be troubled. In fact, I've often thought some of you are troubled. Sorry. You may be troubled on every side. You may be perplexed, as Paul said. But God will show you a way. He will give His put His grace upon your life. You're not abandoned. He's promised never to forsake you. But you've got to get up again. You've got to get up again. Thank you.